we continue to look at church covenant. We're looking in the third paragraph, and last couple weeks we're to maintain our individual spiritual life, and we're to maintain our spiritual home life as well. Again, those two things cannot be separated. In addition to that, we pledge to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. And this is necessary in order for the church to be what it ought to be. It's necessary in order for the church to do what it ought to do. No church can possibly fulfill the purpose of that God has given them without the individual members actively seeking the salvation of souls. It doesn't mean, of course, that we have anything to do with saving them, but it is our duty, it is our responsibility, it is our obligation, and it is our pledge that as church members, we will actively seek the salvation of others. That will be a witness for God in the place where He has placed us and in the circumstances in which God has placed us. And I do believe that God's people are placed in a variety of different places, of course, and just within a body of Christ, the same is true. Placed in a variety of places, placed among a variety of people. We are placed in a variety of circumstances, and I believe all of that, perhaps there's many purposes in all of that, but one purpose for sure is that we will be a witness for Him wherever we are. And Isaiah 43:10, the Lord said to Israel, "Ye are my witnesses." Told them the same thing in Isaiah 43:12, He said, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." Told His church in Acts 1:8 that they were to be His witnesses in all the world. We see in the Great Commission, we see the church again is reminded that they are the witness of the Lord. In John 15:27, He said, "Ye shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning," talking to His church. "Ye shall bear witness of me." That's one of the responsibilities of the church. From what Jesus said in Matthew 5, saying that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are the salt of the earth. All of that, of course, points to the fact that we are to bear public testimony of who the Lord is. We're to bear public testimony of what the Lord has done. In Paul, in 2 Timothy 1:8, told Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And we should never be ashamed of the Lord. We should never be ashamed of what we believe. And we should never be ashamed to tell anybody about the Lord. We should never be ashamed to tell anybody what we believe. We should not be intimidated by anybody as far as telling them about the Lord and telling them what we believe. We see in 1 Peter 3:15 that we are to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you. Always to be ready to give an answer to every man. Doesn't matter who it is. It can be your son, your daughter, it can be your mother, your father, your grandparents, it can be aunts, uncles, it can be next door neighbor, it can be a stranger. It doesn't really matter. But we are to always be ready, and that means to me that we're to always be looking for an opportunity to tell somebody. And we're to, if somebody asks us, then we should not hesitate in giving them an answer. We shouldn't even have to think about it. We should be ready to give an answer. In fact, we ought to be praying that they will ask. And I believe if we live like we ought to, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to leave or they're going to ask. And after they ask, they might leave. But they're going to ask. If you live like you're supposed to live, there's going to be such a difference that their curiosity is going to get the better of them, and they're going to ask you questions. And at that point, of course, we must be ready. So God has always had a witness upon the earth. In the Old Testament, of course, Israel was his primary witness. Today, the primary witness of the Lord, of course, is his church. And we are members of one of those churches. And it is the church's responsibility to bear witness. And a church cannot bear witness if the individual members are not bearing witness. Just sending money to missionaries is not bearing witness. We each, as individuals, we have responsibility to bear witness. You are with people that I'm not with, and vice versa, and that's true of everybody here. And the Lord puts those people in our lives, and we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility, and we have an obligation to be a witness for God. So if the church is going to be missionary, if the church is going to be missionary-minded, then, of course, the members must be missionary, and that simply means we must be a witness. We must be willing to testify of God's grace. And I believe every child of God is a witness without exception. I believe it's responsibility of every child of God. So what is a witness? Well, a witness is one, of course, who testifies. A witness testifies for on behalf of another. A witness tells what he knows. Witness can't say what he doesn't know. He only tells what he knows. And we are God's witnesses. And we are to tell what we know. And so many times, God places us in the midst of people. We see their misery. We see their problems. We see their lives falling all apart. We have a responsibility to tell them what we know. I mean, that's our responsibility. That's our obligation. A witness tells what they know. A witness tells what they've seen. And we need to tell the lost what we've seen. That is, of the Lord. A witness tells what they've heard. And we ought to be telling folks what we hear of the Lord. We ought to be telling folks about messages that we hear. And a witness tells what they've experienced. And again, they as well. So every saved individual here, we're placed in different places, and we're placed in different places for the same purpose. Again, there are other purposes, but one of the purposes is to bear witness of the Lord. According to Ephesians 1 and verse 6, that every saved individual is to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. That is, we're to live in such a way that would be to the praise of the glory of his grace, and we are to bear witness of God's grace. So we have been saved. We have been saved to be a witness of God. We have been added to the church to be a witness of the Lord. The Lord just doesn't leave us here to have a good time. He leaves us here to be a witness. He didn't just add you to the church so that you can get the benefits of being a member of the church. He added you to be a witness and to help the church to carry on their responsibility of being a witness to all the world. And that would include our acquaintances. That would include our relations. We are to bear witness. So a witness testifies for another. We need to ask ourselves, are we testifying for God? And I'm not just speaking about testifying to the unsaved. I'm talking about testifying to those who profess to be saved but are ignorant and who are in error. We have a responsibility to tell them what we know. I mean, when they speak their error and you don't say anything, you failed. You have failed in a responsibility. You have to say what you know. And again, eventually, this will do one. They'll either not bring it up anymore, or they're going to be curious. But we have a responsibility to tell people what we know. If someone makes a statement how that somebody was saved, they said the prayer, how can you not say something? You say, well, I don't want to be offensive. You don't have to say it in an offensive way. But how can you not say anything? You have to say what you know. I mean, that's gross error. And we have responsibility to say what we know. We have responsibility to tell them what we've heard and what we've experienced. So we cannot be content to just know the Lord. We have to tell. We have to want to be a witness. We cannot be content to keep the truth within the four walls of a building. And I believe that is one of the greatest mistakes that New Testament Baptists have made. Somewhere along the line, they've gotten the idea, well, there's so few of us that believe the truth, and we'll just keep it to ourselves. And we'll keep it within the four walls of a church building. That's irresponsible. We are to tell what we know, to tell what we have experienced. So whatever truth that we have a responsibility to let others know. Now, God's people are placed by God for the purpose of being a witness. God places people in our lives. Now, do you believe that the people that God has placed in your life, that He's just placed them there for you to have a good time with? No, there's more. There's got to be more to it than that. He's placed them in our lives, perhaps for them to be a blessing to us, but He's placed them in our lives for us to bear witness, to be a testimony, to be a blessing to them. And God places other people in the lives of His people, again, for the purpose of bearing witness of Him. God causes the paths of people to cross. And I don't believe that's an accident. And God causes our paths to cross. And one of the reasons, there can be many reasons, but one of the reasons is that we are to be a witness. There are no accidents in a world governed by God. And everybody we come into contact with, there's a reason, there's a purpose for it. We have to believe that. We have to know that. And a good example, if we turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, is Naaman's maid. We know that, of course, from 2 Kings 5 and verse 1, that Naaman was a leper. And one day, Naaman's troops marched into Israel, and they took captive. One of the people they took captive was a little girl, a young maid. And her appearance caused Naaman to notice her, and he selected her to be a part of his household, become the maid in that house. Now, that wasn't an accident. And this maid realized that. And again, there's a lot of things she could have done. She's away from her home. She's in a completely strange place. She's been mistreated, taken captive, kidnapped, if you will. She could have sat there and felt sorry for herself. She could have had bitterness in her heart toward Naaman, toward Naaman's household. She could have had great anger toward Naaman and his household, but she didn't seem to have any of those things. And we see as time went on that she became aware that Naaman had leprosy, which of course was incurable. And verse 3, she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were here with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. She bore witness. She bore witness to Naaman's wife, and you and I are placed in the lives of different people for the same reason, to bear witness. I'm sorry, but I cannot possibly believe that you can know about somebody for months or for years, and you tell and you say, well, the opportunities never come up. That, I'm sorry, that's not so. It's come up, you just didn't take it. You can't tell me that in the course of months that the opportunity to say something for the Lord isn't there. We, many times, we're not looking for the opportunity, so we don't see it when it's right in front of us. And many times lost folks will ask questions and God's people gives them some worldly answer instead of what God says. And that's our opportunity. There's always, God has always given us opportunities. I'm not talking about cramming it down people's throat and just making ourselves a nuisance. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about taking an opportunity to say something for the truth, to say something for the Lord. And we see this is what this maid did. She spoke for the Lord. And she said what she knew. She knew there was a cure. She knew there was one who could help Naaman. And so that's what she spoke. And we see that she knew that there was hope, and she told of that hope. And how many times you're with folks who have no hope, and you know there's hope? Well, we have a responsibility to tell them of that hope. You see, this maid was a signpost pointing Naaman to his only hope. And God has done the same with us. He's placed us in situations. He's placed us in the lives of certain individuals, causes our paths to cross, causes us to meet certain people and to have conversations with them. And that's our opportunity to say something for the Lord. You don't have to preach a message. You don't have to go into a long discourse. I'm talking about just saying something for the Lord. Saying something for the truth. So these, when we are with individuals, they need to be viewed as an opportunity to be a witness. An opportunity to say what we know. An opportunity to let others know what we've experienced. But God not only brings people into our lives and puts us in people's lives, God also places us in certain circumstances. And He places us in certain circumstances again for many reasons. But one of the reasons that God puts us in certain circumstances is to be a witness to people that you normally could not be a witness to, that you normally would not even know. But your circumstances have caused you to interact with a certain group of people. And now you have a responsibility to bear witness. Notice in the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Book of Philippians, chapter 1. We'll read verses 12 through verse 18. But I would ye should understand, brethren, and this is something we need to understand, that the things which happened unto me, things are always happening to all of us. Things are always happening. Paul says, I want you to understand concerning the things that happen unto me. Now that's true of all of us. We need to understand why things happen to us. There's a purpose. Again, nothing happens by accident. So he says, I want you to understand the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And I believe we need to look at every circumstance that happens in our life as an opportunity to further the gospel. In other words, this is a circumstance, and God's going to give me some opportunity in this circumstance to further the gospel. To be a witness, whether it's something that's good that has happened to us, whether it's something that we consider as bad that has happened to us, we are to look at it as an opportunity to be a witness unto God. And Paul says, I want you to understand that the things which have happened unto me have led to the furtherance of the gospel. So he goes on, he gives an example. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And the things which happened to Paul really goes back to Acts chapter 25 through 28. When he's arrested, he's brought before Felix, he's brought before Agrippa, and so on. And he says, because of all this, Jesus Christ was manifest in the palace. Why was Jesus Christ manifest in the palace? Because Paul manifested Christ in the palace. Paul was brought to the palace. He was brought before the kings. He was brought before the governors. And he was questioned. And Paul said what he knew. He said what he had experienced. And in so doing, Christ was manifest in the palace. And then he goes on and says, in all other places. See, you tell one person, and that person may go and say, you know what they just told me? And say it to somebody else. And they may say it to somebody else. And by you saying the truth to one person, though they repeated it in a sarcastic way, it's been repeated. It's been repeated to others. And this is how Christ is made known. And he goes on in verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, this is another result of the things that were happening to Paul, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He says, what's happened to me, and by me taking a stand, and by me manifesting Christ, others have been encouraged, other brethren have been encouraged to also speak the truth. And that's the way it works. Whatever circumstance God places us in, we have responsibility to be a witness. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So Paul is saying all the things that have happened unto me have happened and have led to the furtherance of the gospel. So the truth that Paul was aware of, that he wanted others to understand, and a truth that we all need to understand, is that nothing happens by chance or accident or apart from God's purpose. Whatever circumstances God brings into our lives, we have a responsibility to say what we know. We have a responsibility to tell what we've heard, to tell what we've seen, to tell what we've experienced. And you see, by Paul being cast into prison, or first of all, Paul being brought before the governors and the kings, that gave him opportunity to talk to people that he would have never had opportunity to talk to on an everyday basis. But his circumstances brought him into the presence of these individuals. And Paul realized, God has done this on purpose. I'm here to be a witness for God. Certainly God would have me to say something to this king. Certainly God would have me to say something to this governor. And Christ was manifest. Later, of course, Paul would be cast into prison, and he again bore witness. The soldiers that were chained to him, he witnessed to. He preached to them. Told them what he knew. Fellow prisoners, he told them what he knew. Again, bad circumstances, humanly speaking. He could have sat down. He could have felt sorry for himself. He could have gotten angry. He could have gotten bitter and just died. But he realized, God has brought this into my life. I'm here to be a witness. That's why God has left me here. That's why God put me here. That's why God saved my soul. And if God's put me in these circumstances, there must be, and he's put someone else in the same circumstances, then it must be God's purpose to have me say something for him. Now, that shouldn't be too difficult. That shouldn't be too hard to believe. That God brings circumstances in our lives so that you and I can just be a witness. And this is the part of the covenant that we're looking at, that we pledge that we will seek the salvation of our acquaintances and our relations. And again, all the people that God brings into our life, if we're with them any amount of time, there's going to come an occasion where we have the opportunity to say something about the Lord. I mean, if you've lived next door to somebody for 20 years and you've never talked to them about the Lord, you need to repent. I mean, there's nothing possibly right about that. It doesn't matter what reasons you can come up with, there's nothing possibly right about it. You cannot possibly believe that in 20 years you've never had opportunity to tell them about the Lord. To tell them what you know. That God has not brought something into their lives that gives you an opportunity to tell them of the Lord. So we need to always be aware that these things do not happen by accident. These things do not happen by chance. We are witnesses for God, and we have to take the opportunity to tell what we know. And we ought to feel shame if we've been in the company of people and the opportunity's there and we've remained silent. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves that we did not say what we knew, that we did not tell what we knew. And people will say, well, you know, I just want to be a friend, and I don't want to disturb them. You need to get over that, because you're here to be a witness. That's what you're here for. You're not here to be everybody's bosom buddy. You're here to be a witness. And if you bear witness, you're going to make some enemies along the way. You speak the truth. And you will make some friends along the way as well. But most importantly, you will be doing what God has called you to do. And that is to speak the truth. And after you speak the truth a couple of times, they know where you stand. You don't have to repeat it every 5 minutes and every word that comes out of their mouth. You don't have to remind them. Once you've spoken it and you've stated what you know, they know where you stand. And chances are, in today's world, they're not going to ask you anymore. But if they do, then you have to answer them. You have to tell them the truth. Without apology. So Paul here speaks in Philippians, he speaks of the triumphant results of his imprisonment. It says Christ was manifest in the palace and in other places. Others received boldness to preach the word. Verse 18, he said that Christ is preached. So we need to view all the happenings in our life, whether we like what has happened or whether we don't like what has happened, really has no bearing upon our responsibility to bear witness. And we need to be looking for opportunities to bear witness, to bear testimony to others. Whether God puts us in a hospital or in a place of business, whatever. God has put us there to be his witness, to speak a word for him. So this is so important, to realize that every circumstance that God brings into our lives needs to be viewed as an opportunity. Needs to be viewed as an opportunity to manifest Jesus Christ. And there's many things included in that pledge. And we'll get to some of those next week. But let us all realize our responsibility. We have a responsibility to be a witness for God. Some people will say, well, I'm not much for talking and I just live it. Well, I'm sorry. But the time comes where you got to talk. Don't tell me you don't ever talk. And there comes a time where it's time to speak the truth. And then when you speak the truth, you live it. And the truth is, if, as I've already said, if you live the truth like you're supposed to, they're going to ask you. They're going to become curious and they're going to wonder, why do you do such and such? Why do you do that? I mean, they may ask you why you dress in a certain way. What better opportunity? I mean, God's put it right in front of you. And they will ask because they think it's so strange. Hey, this person dresses different than anybody I know. And they'll just come out and ask, why do you dress that way? Tell them. Tell them the truth. Well, this is because this is the way our church believes. No, tell them. Tell them why. Why do you do such and such? Let them know. As the Lord saved me. As the Lord saved my soul. And tell them. That's our responsibility. Why did you? Some clerk gave you too much change, and you gave them, and you called it their attention. And some, why did you do that? Tell them. Well, I just believe in being honest. No, tell them. Because the Lord saved me. I used to be a liar, a thief, just like you. But the Lord saved me. And we have the opportunity to tell. It happens all the time. I don't believe there's a day that goes by that God does not, unless we're closed up in our house, sick, that God does not give us the opportunity to tell somebody something about the Lord. And that's how a church does more mission work than any other way, is if every single church member told their acquaintances and their relations of the Lord, that's the church preaching the message, and the word gets out. And again, we're to speak the truth to our saved friends as well who don't believe the truth. Let them know what you believe. Let them know. Again, you don't have to be mean about it. You let them know, so hopefully the Lord will show them. But let them know. They ought to know where we stand on almost any issue. And if you're with somebody long enough and you know them well enough, you talk about a variety of issues, and it's pretty hard. I mean, if our world view is what it ought to be, and that is it's fashioned by what the Lord has done for us and by the fact the Lord's in our hearts, then that comes out in our world view. That comes out in everything. It comes out in our politics. It comes out in everything. And that's our opportunity. I mean, people talk politics. You can talk about the Lord in politics very easily. Very easily. People today, everybody's talking about, oh, I can't believe the mess we're in. Well, what an opportunity to tell them why we're in that mess. We're in that mess because of sin, but we're in that mess because God's leading us. We're heading to the coming of Christ. Let them know. Tell them what you know. Don't keep silent. And that's a big part of our problem today. Christians worldwide have kept silent about a lot of things. About a lot of things that we should have never, ever kept silent on. And that's got to stop. And we've got to realize I'm here to be a witness. And we need to say what we know. And we do that to help others. We do that hoping that the Lord will do the same thing in their lives as he's done in ours. So may we go from here with a greater desire to be a witness for God. I'm going to say what I know, say what I've experienced, say what I've seen, tell what I've heard, and just be a faithful witness for the Lord. And Ben, if you'd come.